Now, in some interviews you've done, I've read that you talk about how your program forced you to move slower in the very beginning. In other words, it was structured in the sense that in the early stages you really were walking much slower than you normally would, and then you just gradually picked up the pace. Is that a fair summary of what was going on?
More or less, Robert. What actually happened was I carried on walking. I started the walking the way I walked before. I was in a very bad posture, leaning forward, my head bending down. And I walked like that for quite a number of years. And because of that, I ruptured another disc in the back. I prolapsed this disc in my back, a second one, having done the first one in 1960. And anyway, the second one, I went to hospital and had this disc removed. And when I came out of the hospital two or three days later, I came out and I started walking immediately. I got home and my wife and I walked together for 1.5 kilometers. And the next day, I came out of the house with her to start walking again, and the sun was right on the horizon, and I saw my shadow on the wall next to me, and there was this old man walking next to me. My shadow was that of an old man. And I looked at this, and I was absolutely horrified. This old man was me, and I was walking like that, and I wasn't aware of that. Immediately, I thought to myself, well, why can't I stand up straight? And I pushed myself up straight, pulled my back muscle and got myself straight and pulled my shoulders back, and there I was standing straight. And I thought to myself, well, why aren't I walking like that? And I don't know the answer to that question. And if I consciously keep myself upright, I walk straight, I walk upright. If I don't, then I slump forward like I've been doing almost immediately. So there's my natural posture is one of a slumping old man, and my assumed posture using my conscious brain is upright. Now, the next thing that I noticed, having got this into my mind, why am I limping? And I found that I wasn't carrying the weight of my body on the left foot, on the toes of the left foot when I was walking. I was doing that on the right foot, but not on the left foot. So I was walking with a limp. And immediately I was able to consciously stand on the toes, hold my body weight on my toes of my left foot as well as my right foot. So I've carried on doing that consciously. And when I'm not thinking, I walk with a limp. And if I'm not thinking, my posture is the bad one. I learned somewhere between 1998 and 2002 when I wrote the book that I was able to consciously control any movement that I make, like bringing food to my mouth, bringing a glass up to my mouth without spilling it and so forth. If I concentrate on the actual movement, I can do it without the tremor. If I don't, I have the tremor. And it's very easy to show people, but very difficult to explain to people when they're using their conscious mind and when they're using the subconscious mind. And that's why I'm doing this too. I'm going all over the English-speaking world, showing people, physically showing them how to walk properly. And everyone has been able to do it except one guy who couldn't stand up on his legs, and the other two, who were two Americans, rather old guys, they just could not get this idea of consciously moving their legs. And they were the only two that I wasn't able to persuade to use their conscious brain. They just couldn't do it. I had two failures, but I've had hundreds of successes. You can say that generally it works 100% with everybody. Last night I took a lady who is quite bent and she's got scoliosis and she walked very badly. She came in with a walker and it took two people really to get her to sit down. And after I'd given my talk, I said to her, and this was a very crowded room, so we couldn't even do the walk inside the room. We had to walk in the passage outside. And I eventually got her outside into the passage. And I stood with her and I explained to her that I wanted her to not think about what she was doing in walking. She didn't. Everybody tries to will themselves to walk. And I said to her, now, stand next to me here. I want you to put your weight on your left leg. Consciously stick your leg out in front of you. I want to see how far you can stick your leg out in front of you. And she did it very well. So she stood on the right leg and she stuck the left leg out very well. She was able to stand on her toes. And she was able to swing her arms consciously. So I said to her, right, now, I don't want you to will yourself to walk anymore. I want you to just follow what I'm saying. Put your weight on one leg and then stick the other leg out, which you've just shown me you can do, and land consciously on the heel of that leg, which she did. And she followed it up with the heel of the other leg. And we started to walk down the passage, and within 10 seconds, we were walking quite fast. When I mean fast, I do mean fast. And at the end, we turned around without any hassle whatsoever. Normally, people with Parkinson's can't turn around. They stutter and stammer and festinate and so forth. Anyway, she turned around and came all the way back down the passage, by which time a whole crowd had got into the corridor behind us to witness this lady walking fast with me. Okay, she wasn't standing up very straight because she has scoliosis, but she was going along there with a smile on her face, like everybody else. Half the people were in tears. Excuse me, I'm doing the same thing. But anyway, it's so moving that it's very difficult to understand, but it works.
In the present moment, I'm in Olympia, Washington, and you are in Vancouver, Canada. If, in fact, we were together, you and I, and taking a walk and talking back and forth, in other words, you're both walking, I'm walking, and we're talking at the same time, is multitasking a challenge for you or for persons with Parkinson's symptoms?
You're talking about something which, you know, I haven't done because I know I can't do it, but I haven't tried. But what I can tell you is I'm a bird watcher, you know, the feathered variety. When I'm walking, if I hear a bird song that I don't know, or I see a bird that I haven't seen before or can't remember seeing, my mind immediately goes off of what I'm doing and it starts trying to find what sort of bird that is, you know, from all the bird books that I've got and so forth. And because I'm not concentrating on my walking, I immediately start to stumble. So therefore, to answer your question, if I was talking to you and it was an intelligent conversation where I had to concentrate on what I'm doing, my guess is that my walking would fall apart. To answer your question, I cannot multitask, and I have to concentrate very hard on what I'm doing, everything that I'm doing, and I do make mistakes, because when I'm in the house, I don't think about my walking, and I shuffle around the house. I'm always bumping into tables and chairs and things and door jams and walls, and it's because I'm not looking where I'm going, and my brain doesn't tell me that it sees a wall there in the way, but it doesn't tell me that, even though I can see it, but I'm not concentrating on it. I'm always covered with bruises and cuts and so forth, so I get used to that.